the great above, she set her mind to the great below. From the great above, the goddess set her mind to the great below. From the great above, Inanna set her mind to the great below. In Unug, she abandoned heaven and earth to descend to the underworld. In Babtibira, she abandoned heaven and earth to descend to the underworld. In Nibru, she abandoned heaven and earth to descend to the underworld. In Kish, she abandoned heaven and earth to descend to the underworld. In preparation for her journey, she gathered the May, the symbols of her power. With the good May in her hands, she went on her way. On her head, she placed a turban, headgear for the open country. She arranged the dark locks of her hair across her forehead. She anointed her eyes with the coal called Come, Man, Come, and bound about her breast the golden breastplate called Let Him Come, Let Him Come. She tied a string of lapis beads around her neck, placed two large oval lapis beads upon her breast, slipped the gold ring over her wrist, took her lapis measuring rod and line in hand, and wrapped her body in her pala garment, the royal robe, the garment of ladyship. Inanna set out for the underworld. Her sukkul, her faithful companion, Ninshubura, walked with her. They walked together till they came to the place from which each one must go on alone. There Inanna stopped. She said, Ninshubura, wait for me here. If, after 3 days and 3 nights, I have not returned from the underworld, cry out for me in the marketplace, beat the drum for me in the assembly place, circle the houses of the gods for me, tear at your eyes, at your mouth, at your thighs, dress yourself in a single garment of mourning like a beggar. Cry out for me before the temples of the gods. Cry out for me at the Ekur, the temple of Father Enlil. When you enter his temple, say to Father Enlil, do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. Do not let your bright silver be covered with the dust of the underworld. Do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. If Enlil will not help you, go to the temple of Nana, to the Ekushnugal. When you enter his temple, cry out to Father Nana. Do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. Do not let your bright silver be covered with the dust of the underworld. Do not let your precious lapis be broken into pieces by the stoneworker. Do not let the lady Inanna be lost in the underworld. If Nana will not help you, go to the Apsu, to the temple of Enki. When you enter his temple, cry out to Father Enki. Do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. Do not let your bright silver be covered with the dust of the underworld. Do not let your precious lapis be broken into pieces by the stoneworker. Do not let your fragrant boxwood be cut into pieces by the woodworker. Do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. Enki knows the water of life. He knows the food of life. Surely he will not let me die. Ninshubura heeded the words of Inanna. She promised that she would do what was asked of her. She waited there at the appointed place. Inanna placed her foot upon the path which each one must travel alone. She walked on until she came to the outer gate of the Ganzer, the palace of the underworld. There she beat strongly upon the door. She cried out aggressively, Gatekeeper, Neti, gatekeeper of the palace of the underworld, open the door to me. Neti, the gatekeeper of the underworld, said, Who are you? She said, I am Inanna, on my way to the east. Then Neti said, If you are truly Inanna, on your way to the east, why has your heart led you on the path from which no one has ever returned? She replied, saying, Because of my sister, Ereshkigal, the queen of the underworld. Her husband, Lord Gugulana has died. I am here to witness the funeral rites. Let the beer be poured into the cup. Let it be done. Netty said, wait here, my lady. I will tell my queen your words. Netty, the gatekeeper of the underworld, made his way to the great hall of the underworld. There, on a dark throne, sat Ereshkigal. He spoke to her, saying, my queen, a woman as tall as the sky, as broad as the horizon, as strong as the city walls, waits at the outer gate of your palace. She has adorned herself with the good May. Upon her head, she has placed a turban, headgear for the open country. Around her neck, a string of lapis beads, two large oval lapis beads upon her breast. Around her chest, she wears a golden breastplate, about her wrist, a golden ring. She has taken her lapis measuring rod and line in hand, and her body is wrapped in the pallor garment, the garment of ladyship. When she heard this, Ereshkigal bit her lip. She smote her thigh. She took the matter into her heart and dwelt upon it. Her lips became as dark as tamarisk. Then she spoke, saying, let Inanna enter here, but let her enter naked and bowed low, as do all who enter my kingdom. Bolt the seven gates of the underworld against her, close the seven doors of the underworld, open each one to her, a crack. As she enters, let the symbols of her power be taken from her. Let her enter naked and bowed low, as do all who enter here. Netty, gatekeeper of the underworld, heeded the words of his queen. He bolted the seven gates of the underworld. He closed the seven doors of the underworld. Then he opened the outer gate a crack. He said, come, Inanna, enter. As she entered, from her head the turban was taken from her. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rites of the underworld. She went on. She came to the second gate of the underworld. They opened it to her a crack. As she entered, the lapis beads about her neck were taken from her. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rites of the underworld. She went on. She came to the third gate of the underworld. They opened it to her a crack. As she entered, the large oval lapis beads were taken from her breast. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rites of the underworld. She went on. She came to the fourth gate of the underworld. They opened it to her a crack. As she entered, her golden breastplate was taken from her. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rites of the underworld. She went on. She came to the fifth gate of the underworld. They opened it to her a crack. As she entered, the gold ring was taken from her wrist. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rites of the underworld. She went on. She came to the sixth gate of the underworld. They opened it to her a crack. As she entered, her lapis measuring rod and line were taken from her. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rites of the underworld. She went on. She came to the seventh gate of the underworld. They opened it to her a crack. As she entered the pallor garment, her royal robe was taken from her. She said, what is this? They said, be silent, Inanna. A May of the underworld has been fulfilled. Do not question the rights of the underworld. She went on. Naked and bowed low, she entered the great hall of the underworld. There she made her sister Ereshkigal rise from her throne. She sat herself in that place. At this, the Anunna, the judges of the underworld, rose up against her. They spoke to her. It was a word of anger. They shouted at her. It was a cry of guilt. They looked at her. It was the eye of wrath. Inanna was struck down. She was changed to a corpse, a piece of rotting meat, which they hung from a hook on the wall. For 3 days, for 3 nights, it hung there. For 3 days, for 3 nights, Ninshubura waited at the appointed place. When, after that time, Inanna had not returned, she cried out in the assembly places. She beat the drum in the marketplaces. She circled the houses of the gods. She tore at her eyes, at her mouth, at her thighs. She dressed herself in a single garment of mourning, like a beggar. She came to the Ekur, to the temple of Enlil. When she entered his temple, she cried out, "Oh, Father Enlil, do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. Do not let your bright silver be covered with the dust of the underworld. Do not let the lady Inanna be lost in the underworld." Enlil heard the words of Ninshubura. He did not listen to them. He would not help her. He said, "Inanna craved the great above, and she craved the great below. The May of the underworld are May which should not be questioned. Who, having gone to that place, could expect to return?" He would not help her. Ninshubura went on. She came to the Akeshnagal, to the temple of Nana. When she entered his temple, she cried out before the altar, "Oh, Father Nana, do not let the lady Inanna be lost in the underworld. Do not let your bright silver be covered with the dust of the underworld. Do not let your precious lapis be broken into pieces for the stone worker. Do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld." Nana heard the words of Ninshubura. He did not listen to them. He said, "Inanna craved the great above, and she craved the great below as well. The May of the underworld are May which may not be questioned. Who, having entered that place, could expect to return again?" He would not help her. Ninshubura went on. She came to the temple of Enki. When she entered the temple, she cried out before the altar, "Oh, Father Enki, do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld. Do not let your bright silver be covered with the dust of the underworld. Do not let your precious lapis be broken into pieces by the stoneworker. Do not let your fragrant boxwood be cut into pieces by the woodworker. Do not let Inanna be lost in the underworld." Enki, the All-Father, heard the words of Ninshubura. He listened to them. He said, "What has happened? The lady Inanna, I am troubled. I am grieved. I will help her." From the nail of the middle finger of his right hand, Father Enki brought out dirt. From it, he fashioned a kugara, a creature neither female nor male. From the nail of the middle finger of his left hand, Father Enki brought out more dirt. From it, he fashioned a galator, a creature neither male nor female. He gave to them the water of life. He gave to them the food of life. He spoke to them, saying, "Slip like flies through the doors of the underworld. Slide like phantoms through the bolts of the gates of the underworld. When you enter the great hall of the underworld, there you will see Ereshkigal, moaning and groaning, with the cries as if of a woman about to give birth. Her breasts will be bare, her hair will swirl around her head like leeks, her nails like pickaxes on her. When she cries, "Oh, oh, my heart," you are to say, "You are troubled, our mistress, oh, your heart." When she sighs, "Oh, oh, my liver," you are to say, "You are troubled, our mistress, oh, your liver." She will stop crying, sighing. She will ask, "Who are you?" Crying, moaning with me from my heart to your heart, from my liver to your liver. If you are gods, I will worship you. If you are mortal, I will give you a gift. She will offer you the river gift, the water in fullness. Do not accept it. She will offer you the grain gift, the field before harvest. Do not accept it. Ask only for the corpse that hangs from a hook on the wall. When it is taken down and given to you, sprinkle it with the water of life. Sprinkle it with the food of life. Inanna will arise. Bring Inanna back from the underworld. The Kugara and the Galatur heeded the words of Enki. They slipped like flies through the gates of the underworld. They slid like phantoms through the bolts of the doors of the underworld. They entered the great hall of the underworld. There, Ereshkigal, upon her dark throne, was moaning, groaning. Her breasts were bare. Her hair swirled around her head, her nails like pickaxes on her. When she cried, "Oh, oh, my heart," they cried with her, "You are troubled, our mistress, oh, your heart." When she sighed, "Oh, oh, my liver," they sighed with her, "You are troubled, our mistress, oh, your liver." She stopped sighing, crying. She looked at them, saying, "Who are you? I tell you, from my heart to your heart, from my liver to your liver, if you are gods, I will worship you. If you are mortals, I will give you a gift. I will decree a destiny for you. I will give you the water gift, the river in its fullness." They said, "We do not wish it." "I will give you the grain gift, the fields before harvest." They said, "We do not wish it." She asked them then, "What is it that you wish?" They said, "We ask only for the corpse that hangs from the hook on the wall. That is the corpse of your queen." They said, "Whether it is the corpse of our queen, whether it is the corpse of our king, that is what we wish." The corpse was taken down and given to them. They sprinkled it with the water of life. They sprinkled it with the food of life. Inanna arose. Inanna was about to ascend from the underworld when the Anuna, the judges of the underworld, surrounded her. They said, "Who has ever returned from the underworld? If Inanna would ascend, she must send another to take her place." So when Inanna ascended from the underworld, the Gala, the demons of the underworld, surrounded her. The one who walked in front was not a minister, but he carried a scepter. The one who walked behind was not an escort, but he carried a mace. The small Gala, like a reed enclosure, the tall Gala, like a reed fence, surrounded her on every side. The Gala, the demons of the underworld, they know no food, they know no drink, they accept no offerings, they receive no libations. They have no sweet children to kiss. They tear the wife from the husband's arms, they tear the child from the mother's knees. They surrounded Inanna. When Inanna ascended from the underworld, she came to the place where Ninshubura was waiting for her, ash in her hair, her face gashed and torn. When she saw Inanna returning, she flung herself in the dust at her feet. The Gala said, "Walk on, Inanna. We will take Ninshubura in your place." But Inanna said, "No, Nin Shubura is my Sukal, she is my faithful companion. She cried out for me before the altars of the gods. If it had not been for her, my life would have been lost. I will never give Nin Shubura to you. Then the Gala said, walk on, Inanna. We will accompany you further. Inanna walked on. She came to the city of Shara. Shara, ash in his hair, his face gashed and torn, was dressed in a mourning garment. When he saw Inanna coming, he flung himself in the dust at her feet. The Gala said, walk on, Inanna. We will take Shara in your place. But Inanna cried out, no, I will never give Shara to you. Shara is my musician. He is my hairdresser. He is my manicurist. I will never give him to you. Then the Gala said, walk on, Inanna. We will accompany you further. They came to the city of Lulal. Lulal was dressed in a mourning garment, ash in his hair, his face gashed and torn. When he saw Inanna coming, he flung himself in the dust at her feet. The Gala said, walk on, Inanna. We will take Lulal in your place. But Inanna said, no, I will never give Lulal to you. Lulal is my soldier. He marches at my left hand. He fights at my right hand. I will never give Lulal to you. Then the Gala said, walk on, Inanna. We will accompany you further. When they came to the city of Unug, there on the plain of Kulabar, beneath the apple tree, Dumuzi, the husband of Inanna, sat upon his magnificent throne. He was dressed in his shining May garments. When he saw Inanna coming, he did not move. Inanna spoke to him. It was the word of anger. She shouted at him. It was the cry of guilt. She looked at him. It was the eye of wrath. She reached out and pointed at him. She cried, take him! Take Dumuzi in my place. The Gala, the demons of the underworld, surrounded Dumuzi. They made him stand up. They made him sit down. They gashed him with axes. They tore at his May garments. Dumuzi let out a wail and turned very pale. He raised his hands to heaven, to Utu, the sun god, crying out, Utu, you are my brother-in-law. I am the husband of your sister. Utu, accept my tears. Save me from the Gala. Change my hands to the hands of a snake. Change my feet to the feet of the snake. Let me flee the Gala. Do not let them hold me. Utu accepted Dumuzi's tears. He changed his hands to snake hands. He changed his feet to snake feet. Dumuzi fled, but the Gala pursued him. Dumuzi escaped his demons, but he could not escape his fate. He was taken. He descended to the underworld. But now, Inanna the Pure wept bitterly for her husband. She tore at her hair like esparto grass. She ripped it out like esparto grass. She cried, you wives who lie in your men's embrace, where is my man? You children who lie in your father's embrace, where is my man? Where is my man? A fly spoke to Inanna. The fly said to Inanna the Pure, if I show you where your man is, what will be my reward? Inanna answered the fly, I will give you the gift to dwell in the taverns, to dwell amongst the beer houses, to listen to the words of the wise, the gossip of the garrulous. The fly accepted this fate. The fly helped Inanna. It brought her to the place where Dumuzi's body lay. There, his sister was weeping. Gesht Inanna was weeping. She cried out, where is my brother? I would save him. Where is my brother? I would share his fate. Inanna came to Gesht Inanna. She took her by the hand. She said, because you have asked it, you shall share his fate. He will go to the underworld, but for half the year. On the day that he returns, on that day you will take his place. On the day that you return, he will descend to the underworld. And so it began, the turning of the seasons, turning then, turning still, today.